This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio.
Night Beat.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the Night Beat for the Chicago Star. My stories start in many different ways. This one began in the shattering turmoil of a manhunt and ended in the quietness of the morgue.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
People are always telling me how lucky I am to have a job where all I've got to do is walk around Chicago at night looking for a story. It's a dandy little job, sure. All you need's a pneumonia jacket, an extra set of arch supports, and a goodly supply of penicillin, and you're all set. The city at night, fascinating. That old nose for news, frozen stiff and ready to fall off. Those eagle eyes so watery and bloodshot from the wind, they wouldn't serve a self-respecting canary. Yes, sir, it's lovely work if you can get it. And brothers and sisters, have I got it. Oh, I guess I was just bitter. I'd walked from the loop to the near north side, waiting for a story to tap me gently on the shoulder, and so far it was no hits, no runs, and no errors. The streets were empty. Everybody was home hugging a radiator. And then far away I heard that lonely blues in the night sound, a police siren. And then another, and another. And then it seemed like there was a whole chorus of sirens singing about what a cruel, cruel world it all was. And then one siren separated itself from the rest and came closer, a prowl car coming down the street, stopping just a few yards away from me, and a police officer jumping out of it and hurrying to a call box. The officer passed under the street lamp, and I saw the excited look on his face, and I thought, all right, Stone, you lucky dog, let's go to work.
This is Malachek. Yeah, okay, we're on our way over there right now. Right.
Oh, officer, just a second.
What do you want, mister?
What's up? Sounds like every squad car in the city's on the loose.
Look, I got no time, mister. Read it in the papers tomorrow.
Oh, I never touch the stuff. Look, the name is Stone, Chicago Star.
Oh, reporter?
Well, mildly, that's a general call, isn't it?
I got no time to stand here, Gavin. I'll give it to you fast. Gig Sanders busted loose.
Sanders? Great. When and how?
Read it in your paper, Stone. All right, Crossan, let's move. They got him trapped.
Gig Sanders, two-time loser, a killer, loose in a city of 4 million people and everyone his enemy. I hurried to a phone, checked with the police, and then drove over to that part of Chicago called the Badlands. That strange area belonging to every city, surrounded by business section, yet itself run-down, deteriorated, filled with tenements and abandoned factories. It was there the police had thrown a cordon around a boarded-up building. My pass got me through and up to the front line, and Police Captain Arlen.
Hello, Stone.
Well, the hunt's on, huh?
I don't know. We'll see in a minute.
Sanders in that building?
Got a tip he would be. Wait a second. All right, Billings. Turn the searchlights on the building. Keep two of them on the roof. Run the others back and forth.
Right.
Sticking around, Stone?
Yeah, I guess so. You sure Sanders is in there?
No, but we couldn't afford to pass up the tip.
The tip? Where'd it come from?
No, it's just a phone call. But Sanders knew this neighborhood like the back of his hand. Likely to be here.
Captain Ireland, ready with the speaker now.
Okay, bring it here. Malachek.
It's quite a crowd gathered for the kill.
Yeah, making it tough for us. Sanders is armed like an artillery corps, and if he's in there...
I see what you mean. How'd he get away?
Haven't got the full details yet, but he was being taken to the death house. Killed a cop.
He's a nice boy.
Here you are, Captain.
Okay. All right. Here it goes. Sanders!
Sanders! Listen to me! There's no way out of that building that isn't covered. Come out with your hands in the air. We'll give you 20 seconds. Hear that, Sanders? 20 seconds. We'll count them off for you.
Now what if he doesn't show?
Tear gas first, then we'll go in after him.
If he comes out with his hands up, he goes to the death house. If he doesn't...
He'll come out. Rats always believe there's a chance to beat the chair.
Well, his life is hope.
No sign of him. Malachek, come here.
Yes, sir.
Take the microphone. When I give the signal, start counting off 20 seconds.
Yes, sir.
He's given him more than 20 seconds.
Not him, the crowd. They won't push in so close when the counting starts.
Oh. Oh, look at them. Look at those faces. Perfectly normal human beings for 23 and a half hours of the day. Give them something like this for 30 minutes and they become a mob. Waiting, watching, hoping for the kill.
People, Randy, want to change them?
Yeah, sure. We'll retool and put out a nice new 8-cylinder model with a convertible soul.
Get ready, Manochek.
Yes, sir.
Captain, there's my story.
Sandberg?
Oh, no. That's for the front page, boys. That mob, that's my story. Look at that young couple right over there. Look at those two. They're hoping Sanders will come out shooting.
Otherwise, they'll want their money back, huh?
I suppose so. I'll see you later.
Where are you going?
I want to stand by that couple and listen to them.
All right. Malachek, start counting. But warn him first. Once more.
Sanders. We're going to start counting right now. Come out with your hands in the air or we'll cut you in half when we come in after you. One. Two, three, four.
I edged my way behind the young couple. They looked so nice and so human.
Seven,
but here they were, the same as all the rest.
Nine.
Go back just a little over 1,000 years, put on a toga, 11, and take a seat in the Colosseum at Rome.
12,
have a great day watching 13, the gladiators butcher each
14,
other. Cheer for the lions, or, 15, if you prefer people, cheer for 16, the slave to kill the lion.
17.
Makes no difference. It's all the same holiday.
19,
somebody gets killed.
20.
And then it started.
Let him have it!
It was all over in a few moments. The tear gas, the police rushing in with their masks on, the crowd straining forward to get a glimpse of Sanders. But there was no Sanders when the police came up.
Nobody in there, Captain Ireland.
He must have been.
No, sir, not a soul. We've covered every inch.
I watched the crowd, and strangely enough, there was relief on their faces, and even a little shame that they'd hoped for the kill. But the young couple in front of me.
He wasn't there, Ken. He wasn't there.
I know. Come on. Let's get out of here quick.
Ken, I'm sick.
Evie, hold on to me. Let us through, please. Let us through.
Yeah, here, this way. Come on. Will you clear the way, please?
She's sick, mister.
Maybe it's a natural reaction to disappointment.
Huh?
Nothing. Come on. We'll get through this way. Will you let us through, please? Excuse me, will you? Please. Thank you.
She's got to sit down, mister. She's got it.
Okay. Here's my car. Let her get in here.
Kenny wasn't there. He's loose.
Never mind. Come on, baby, I'll get you home.
You better let me drive him.
No, we'll be all right.
Ken, I'm sick.
Just a little while, Evie, we'll be home.
Look, fella, it's easy to see what's the matter. She can't walk home in her condition.
It ain't far.
A block would be too far. I'll get a cab.
No! I don't want anybody around us.
Don't want anybody around you? That's a laugh. You bring her out here to this? Why didn't you take her on a nice tour through the packing house?
Shut up. What right you got to talk like that?
The Founding Fathers gave it to me.
You don't know nothing about it. You don't know.
Ken, take me home.
Look, my car is still here. You're in no spot to refuse help, no matter what your reason. Now, come on.
Let him. Let him take us, Kenny, please.
Come on. They lived very close. It didn't take over 3 minutes to get to their tenement building. I wanted to take her to a hospital, but she refused. She refused in a way that made me look at her hard. And there was another thing, the way she reacted when the police found out Gig Sanders wasn't in the oil factory. Terror. That's what it was. Sheer terror. And I helped her husband carry her up the stairs and into their meager little flat.
On the couch, mister.
Yes.
Okay. There. Now, have you got a phone?
What for?
Call a doctor.
We ain't got a phone. But there's a drugstore.
No, Ken.
But baby...
We gotta get out. We ain't got time for a doctor now. Just... Let me rest.
You're in no condition to refuse a doctor.
I'm all right now.
Yeah, sure. It ain't going to be for 3 weeks. That's what the doctor said.
3 weeks? And you drag her out to that great exhibition? Why didn't you...
Shut up! I told you before you didn't know nothing about it. Mind your own business and leave us alone. What are you looking like that for?
What's the matter with you, with both of you?
Nothing.
Oh, yes, there is. You're scared stiff. Of what?
Please go, like Kenny says. Leave us alone.
Well, let me phone for a doctor from the drugstore. I won't come back. Just a doctor.
Evie?
No, we ain't got time, Kenny. Don't you know that? We ain't got time. He's loose, Ken. He's loose.
Easy, baby, don't.
You're talking about Gig Sanders, aren't you? Why? Why are you afraid of him? Do you know him? Come on, what about a talk?
No, not to nobody.
You're scared of Sanders. Why?
Look, mister, you helped us. All right, thanks. Now get out of here.
We gotta tell somebody.
I said nobody. You know what'll happen.
We gotta tell. Mister, who are you?
My name is Stone, Chicago Star.
Newspaper, newspaper.
That frighten you?
Maybe he can help. Maybe he can.
Nobody can. You know that.
I'll tell him.
Evie, shut up.
It was Kenny who tipped the cops.
Evie.
I had to tell somebody. Maybe he can help.
That's the truth, Kenny.
Yeah. It was me tipped the cops.
That Sanders was in the factory?
I thought he might be, but he wasn't.
All right. Now tell me something else. How do you know so much about it? Come on, if you want me to help, I gotta know you're on the level, so tell me.
Tell him.
How do I know that he won't go straight to the police? How do I know that?
We gotta trust somebody. We gotta.
Can we trust anybody?
Well, try it and see.
Him and me in the same gang once. I did time, but I got out before he did. I went straight because...
Go ahead.
It was for me.
Oh. All right, now, how about the tip to the police? There'll be a reward, you know. Sanders is big time.
I didn't do it for no reward.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Mr. Stone, help us.
How? How can I help?
By getting out now and keeping your trap shut about
it. And that'll help? No, you'll be back where you started. Your wife knows that, or she wouldn't have asked me to help.
Jake'll come after us.
How would he know that you gave the information to the police?
He'll guess. We used that factory plenty of times for a hideout. Nobody else knew how to get in. There's a cellarway.
All right. Let me ask you another question, Kenny.
What?
Why did you tip the police?
Gig hates me.
Why?
Kenny married me while Gig was still in the pen.
Oh, you were his girl?
No, I never was. I never was his girl at all. I was like everything else Gig liked. Everything was his, no matter who it belonged to. To him, a girl was like anything else. His gun, his clothes. Anytime Gig Sanders wanted something, it was his. I never loved him. I told him, but he just laughed. Like what I felt didn't mean nothing.
I see, and now?
Now he's loose. He hates me because of Evie, and he's going to know I tipped the coppers. Mr. Stone, if it's the last thing he does, he's going to get us, Evie and me. You are listening to Nightbeat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
Those kids were scared, plenty scared. I asked them the only question that made sense, and I got my answer.
Go to the police? Sure. A guy who serves time goes to the cops. He tells them he gave him a bum steer. They got every copper in Chicago around that factory while Gig gets away someplace else. Yeah, sure. They'd believe me, wouldn't they?
Well, try it. I'll go with you.
Listen, you don't know. I changed my name. I moved all over the state looking for a job. This is the only place I could get one. I had to come back here.
So what does that prove?
It'll be in the papers. He'll lose his job, Mr. Stone.
I can't do that. Not with Evie.
Then what do you want me to do?
Look, maybe if I give you a list of the places the coppers might find Gig, maybe you could tip him.
What if he doesn't show up?
There ain't many places he can go.
Look, maybe by this time he's out, maybe even out of the state. He's killed an officer. He won't dare to stay here.
Gig, as long as he knows Evie and me are still alive, he'll stay. He hates me so much, he'll take that chance.
Does he know you live here?
No. I ain't even seen any of the old bunch at all. I moved around.
Always moving. Keep away. Mr. Stone, go to the police.
But don't tell him nothing about me.
Will you get it through your head that they'll protect you?
Even so, Gig's got friends. If they find out it was me...
All right, yeah.
So you gotta go to the police.
All right. Where's the drugstore?
Right at the corner. You'll see it.
All right, stay right here. Keep your door locked until I get back. It was a short 2 minutes to the corner drugstore. I put in my call and started back to the flat. The street was quiet, deserted. The dirty tenements a solid block of ugliness against the night. I reached the tenement entrance and I was just about to start up the steps.
Hey, pal.
Huh?
Don't turn around. And nice and quiet. That's it.
What is this, a holdup?
Sure, a holdup. Now listen to me. Take out a cigarette.
What?
Take out a cigarette. That's it. Now light it. Act natural. Good boy. Now?
Where are you?
In your car at the curb, smart boy. What? Don't turn around, I said. Take a look up and down the street.
I am.
Coppers?
No.
Okay. Now come here to the car. You're gonna do like I tell you, understand?
What do you want? Who?
You know who I am, Stone.
Yeah, I guess I do.
Listen, I'm going up to that flat you come
from. Don't do it, Sanders.
Sure, I'm gonna do it. This gun says I can do it.
Leave the two kids alone.
Yeah. All alone.
You're wasting time, Sanders. Time you could use to better advantage.
Sure. Now step back a couple of feet. I'm getting out. Just stand there. Keep smoking a cigarette. Walk ahead of me. Straight in that house. Move. Stop you.
Sanders, you're not going to do this and still have time to get away.
Real concerned about me, ain't you? Don't worry, I'm a big boy.
All right, give him a break.
Sure, like they was going to give me. Now listen, you're going back up to that flat. You're going to knock on the door and you're going to tell them to let you in. That clear?
What if I don't?
So be a hero. I'll get in anyway. It's just easier this way. Okay?
All right.
So let's go.
The slow walk up the stairs was a nightmare. I walked down the hall toward the flat. The flat where those two kids waited behind a door that they thought would keep the terror and death away from them. Then,
knock.
Who is it?
Answer.
Sanders, please don't do it.
You can answer him.
Who is it?
Answer.
It's Stone, Kenny, but I... Oh.
You was the long shot.
Inside.
Shut her up or I will.
Easy, don't.
You, Stone, lock that door. All right, Kenny boy, over on the couch.
Gig, don't hurt Evie. She's gonna have...
I see, yeah. Congratulations.
Listen to me.
Shut up, Stone.
What?
Get over to the couch. On your way, turn out the light. Stay in line with the window so I can see against the street lamp. Now sit down. We'll talk.
You gonna listen to me, Gig?
Sure, I'm a wonderful listener. Only make it good and funny, huh?
Even me fell in love, Gig. You ain't gonna blame us for that.
Evie and you fell in love. You think I worried about that? You think I cared what she did? Nah. It's what you done tonight.
He was afraid, Sanders. Afraid that you'd come after him because of Evie.
I thought about it, mister. Yeah, plenty. But I figured let it go. It ain't worth it. But this tonight is something different. Turning stooling.
You'll never get out of Chicago, Sanders. Every cop in the city will be looking for you.
It's nothing new to me. Now you, Kenny boy. You did tip the coppers, didn't you?
Kick, listen.
We're nothing.
You haven't got a chance, Sanders.
No chance? I always got a chance. My luck's good. You know why I wasn't in that factory, Kenny boy? Because my luck held. I had to get some dough first. And you know where I was? In that crowd, just standing there watching.
You were in the crowd?
Yeah, like watching my own funeral, only the coffin was empty. And I saw you and Evie, Kenny. That's how I knew where the tip come from.
All right, you're smart, Sanders. Now be smarter. You got us where you want us. We can't make a move, but if you kill us, you'll kill the time you need to get away.
I got ways. Like I come here. I followed you in a cab, then hid in your parked car. Now, ain't that smart? Evie, you ain't said nothing.
Big, you gonna kill us?
Yeah, I'm gonna kill you, Evie.
Sanders, you said your luck held. It can't hold forever. What you're doing now is giving the police minute after minute to catch up with you, and they will sooner or later. You killed an officer, Sanders. You know what that means?
Him or me, it had to be that way.
Doesn't have to be this way.
This way?
What Kenny Dunn was to save Evie's life and the baby's, right or wrong, that's why he did it. What would you have done to save your own life?
I killed a cop to save my life. That answer you?
Yes, I guess it does.
So it makes sense. That's a radio there by you, ain't it?
Yeah.
Send it on. We're all going to sit here and wait for the news. I'm going to see how I'm making out.
We sat in the semi-darkness of the room. The only light came from the window that faced the street. Then the 11 o'clock news broadcast came on.
The meeting tomorrow will tell us more. Tonight in Chicago, the city's manhunt goes on for Gig Sanders, convicted and sentenced killer. Acting on an anonymous tip, the police surrounded the old Phillips factory, but Sanders had not been there or had escaped before the cordon could be drawn tightly. Meanwhile, rewards totaling $2,800 have been offered.
Shut it up!
$2,800. A real nice nest egg, huh, Kenny boy?
There wasn't any reward.
There is now.
Sanders.
What do you want, Stone?
You said you were smart.
So, what are you getting at?
Maybe you forgot one thing.
Yeah?
You came here in a cab.
So?
The driver get a look at your face?
Don't give me that. The cops would be here long before now.
Oh, no, Sanders. Only about a half hour has gone by since they tried for you in the factory. Figure it out. By the time the cab driver reports, by the time the police check...
Shut up.
You're wasting time. You got half a chance if you take it.
Yeah. I guess you talked me into it. Okay, I'll get going.
Gig. No. Please. No.
Gig, not Evie, not the baby.
The baby? Evie? I could have been rotten in that factory by now.
What satisfaction will you get from this, Sanders?
Satisfaction? Everything in the world.
You were friends.
Yeah, friends. Did you tell him how good friends we were, Kenny? Did you tell him how we played in the same dirty, stinking streets? How we ate the same slop in the orphan asylum? Did you tell him all that?
Gig.
Yeah, Evie, did you tell him how I was always the one to get Kenny out of jams when we were kids? They tell you that, Stone?
No, but you're thinking of it. Remember it.
I am. Oh, I am.
All Kenny wanted was a decent life.
Even if it cost mine, huh?
He wanted to live for his wife and their baby.
And I want to live.
For what?
You shouldn't have said that, Stone. I didn't have nothing against you till you said that. I was going to death house when I busted loose. I figured a million ways to get away, and I took the chance when it come. I killed a cop. And I know what happens to a cop killer, I know. And they're coming. I guess you were right about that cabbie. The minute the cop will all be set up and ready to get me. Yeah, but I killed a cop. That's how bad I wanted to live. But nobody wants me to. Nobody, you hear? Nobody.
Listen, Sanders.
You listen. A couple of weeks ago, there was a leopard loose. You know what the people said, you know, Stone?
Yes, I know. They felt sorry for the leopard.
That's right. Everybody wanted that leopard taken alive. Nobody wanted it killed but me. Me, I'm a human being, and they want to see me cut to pieces.
Maybe because that's all the difference in the world between you and that animal.
Is there? You're going to tell me the leopard would know better if he killed to get away. Well, I don't. No, because that's the way I learned to live.
Because you didn't want any other way, Sanders. Because it was the easiest way. You grew up in a gutter. You never wanted to get out of it. Other men did.
I ain't other men. I'm Gig Sanders. Gig Sanders.
Gig, they're all around. You ain't got a chance.
Yeah, and that's dandy for you. Just what you want.
No, Gig. No, I swear it ain't.
You swear. Now, you listen. I'm going out. Yeah, but not with my hands up. And I ain't gonna die alone.
Sanders, don't. Do one last decent thing. Let these kids alone.
Gig, listen. I'll go with you.
Kenny, no.
Gig, I'll go with you. It'll be you and me again, like it always was. I'll help you get away. We can do it together, Gig. We always used to, me and you, remember?
You're crazy, Kenny. If they think you're going out with him, you won't have a chance. They'll cut you down with him.
Kenny, stay here.
I gotta do it, Evie. You gotta see that. I have to do it. Gig, you wanna kill me, all right. I'll be dead if that's what you want, but I'm going out with you. I got a gun. I got a gun.
Kenny, put it down. Don't.
So you got a gun. You got a gun. All right, shoot me. Why don't you shoot me?
I could have. Any time we were sitting here.
But you didn't. You was always soft, Kenny boy. You see, Stone, that's the difference between him and me.
Then shoot me. Go ahead, kill me now. But even if you don't, I'm going out with you, Kenny.
Kenny, you're not talking sense.
Sanders. Sanders, we know you're in there. Sanders, this is Captain Ireland. Listen to me. Sanders.
I'm listening, copper.
Sanders, there are innocent people in that building. We'll give them time to clear. If you've got any human decency left in you, wait before you do anything. But I warn you, Sanders, come out with your hands in the air.
What are you going to do?
You know what I'm going to do? Coppers, I'm coming out. Right out the front door. Tell everybody else to stay in. Tell them.
All right, Sanders. But with your hands up. Now listen, people.
Stay in your rooms, lie down on the floor, and stay away from windows and doors.
I'm coming, coppers!
They'll kill you, Giggs.
Sanders, go out with your hands in the air.
Oh, sure, sure. Now, Evie, Kenny...
Giggs!
Sanders!
Do it, then, Giggs! Do it and get it over with!
Kenny, boy, get where I can see your face.
Think what you're doing, Sanders!
Shut up, son. And the light by the window, Kenny. Now, let me look at you. You said you'd go out with me.
Yeah.
Kenny, don't lie to me now. Don't lie now.
I'll go with you, Kate.
Swear it's the truth, Kenny. Swear it's the truth.
I don't have to swear it, Kate. You're looking at me.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going out alone.
And what about Kenny, Evie?
That can rot in this stinking world. That can rot! Not me. I'm going out. I'm going out and meet all the coppers in Chicago.
Dig,
stay where you are.
He's gone. He's gone.
Sanders, come out with your hands up.
Hello, coppers!
Well, there's $2,800 lying down there, Kenny. You better go down and pick it up.
I don't want it.
You had all the chance in the world. Why didn't you kill him?
I couldn't. Gig Sanders was my brother.
Now it's almost dawn again, and I've written another story. It's a story that began a long time ago when a man looked up and answered a question with another question. Am I my brother's keeper? There's an answer to that, and our society has made it. Yes, you are your brother's keeper, but the kept must be worthy of the keeping. Copy, boy.
Night Beat, a new dramatic series, stars Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone. Tonight's story was written by Russell Hughes. Night Beat is edited by Larry Marcus and directed by Warren Lewis. Music by Frank Worth. Others in tonight's cast were Ted DeCorsia, Georgia Ellis, Shepard Menken, Louis Haight, Herb Ellis, and Alan Slate. Frank Lovejoy will next be seen in Milton Sperling's production Rock Bottom, released by Warner Brothers. Throughout the week, NBC brings you the very best adventure mystery dramas on the air. You'll hear action-packed, fast-moving plots to hold your interest right up to the smashing climax on NBC's thrilling mystery shows. During these stellar programs, you'll hear mystery and intrigue, adventure and high-tension drama. Match your powers of observation against the best in detective fiction in solving crimes and unraveling intrigue. There's fast-moving action to lift you from beside your radio into the romantic land of mystery and adventure. These exciting dramas are as interesting as tomorrow's race results today. And you'll hear them every night over most of these NBC stations. Remember, if it's mystery and adventure dramas you're tune for the best on NBC. Listen next week at this same time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness. The stories that come out of the shadows to find their way into Night Beat. Tomorrow, Fred Allen joins Bob Hope. Now, Jack Benny's on NBC.
Get this and get it straight. Crime is a sucker's road, and those who travel it wind up in the gutter, the prison, or the grave. This time it started with a kid hawking papers on Hollywood Boulevard, and moved from there to a house full of hate on a quiet street, a blonde liar on ice skates, and a corpse in a burned-out shack. And it all wound up right where it really began, in the heart of the Kid, on the corner.
From the pen of Raymond Chandler, outstanding author of crime fiction, comes his most famous character in The Adventures of Philip Marlowe. Now, with Gerald Moore starred as Philip Marlowe, we bring you tonight's exciting story, The Kid on the Corner.
After a day jam full of heat waves in December, actresses who passed mascara and long A's off as talent, and producers with glossy convertibles and holes in their shoes, the world looked as phony as a $7 bill. And when I finally closed my office, stepped out onto Hollywood Boulevard into the glare from miles of sheet iron Christmas trees on lamppost trunks, and watched a loudspeaker Santa Claus with neon reindeer trundle by in a cloud of artificial snow, I'd have gladly traded all of Hollywood, California for one quiet Vermont hillside and thrown my license in to boot. All of which convinced me that what Marlowe needed most was a martini in his own apartment, a good book, and a night's sleep in that order. So I started home after them, but only got as far as the middle of the street.
Hey, Mr. Marlowe, wait up!
It was the Kid who sold papers on the corner.
Mr. Marlowe, can you spare a minute? I gotta talk to you.
Okay, Tommy, let's get out of the street first, huh? I'm not so good at dodging fenders.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What's on your mind, Kid?
That's about my Uncle Bert. Bert Larson. He's gone, Mr. Marlowe.
What about your family, Tommy? Don't they know where he is?
Oh, I don't have no family. I've been living with Uncle Bert in a flat down in Van Ness. Hey, if you haven't had your dinner yet, maybe you'd eat with me in the cafeteria, huh? It's real important to me, Mr. Marlowe.
Anything that's important to you, Kid, is important to me. Let's go in.
Oh, swell. I should have known something was wrong when I heard him walking around. Late last night, you know? He said he was after a drink of water, but he's got those metal plates, kind of like taps on his shoes, so I knew he was all dressed, only I was too sleepy to think anything about it then.
Well, maybe he just got an early start and he's been busy today, huh?
No, it's not like that, Mr. Marlowe. Something's wrong.
Well, you have, gentlemen. The pork's nice tonight.
Stew's the best deal for the money, Mr. Marlowe.
Oh.
I'll have the stew, please.
Yeah, you better make it too, miss.
Okay, a couple of stews coming up.
See, when I got up this morning, I found this envelope on the dresser. It was $200 inside, and this was written on the front.
Let's see it. Dear Tommy, must leave town on business. I'll send more money soon. Be a good kid and take care of yourself, Uncle Bert. Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah. I spent all day trying to find out where he went. I checked everything but the airport. I know he wouldn't take a plane. He gets dizzy just standing on a curb. No luck, though. Milk, Mr. Marlowe?
No, I'll have coffee, Tommy. I feel rugged. And there's a table over in the corner. Come on, huh?
Okay. What really makes it fishy is that Uncle Bert's got no out-of-town business. Besides, he's never been out in front more than $20 in his life. I can't figure it.
Now, look, Tommy, if you're really worried, you don't want me. You ought to go to the police right away.
Cops?
Yeah.
No, I can't.
Why not?
Well, Uncle Bert's been awful good to me, but, well, I guess he's really kind of a bum. You see, he's a gambler, Mr. Marlowe. A bookie.
Uh-huh.
Just a harmless small timer, sure, but I'd get him in an awful jam if I called the cops. Will you try to find him for me? I got dough. I'll pay you whatever you charge.
Don't worry about the money, Tommy.
I got one lead for you. This name here in the back of the envelope. See?
Yeah. Lester Carney. And the number 3,004.5. Does that mean anything to you, Kid?
No.
Oh.
I'd have looked that guy up my cell phone. You know how far a kid could get.
Sure.
Gee, Mr. Marlowe, I'm sure my uncle didn't leave town. It's something else. It's gotta be. He's in some kind of trouble.
Now, Tommy, you know that he might be on the wrong end of it, don't you?
Yeah. Well, if that's right, I want to find it out fast, Mr. Marlowe. Here's a picture of him.
Mm-hmm. Scared, son?
Me scared? Nah. Not for myself, anyway. Yeah, I guess I am, kinda.
Well, okay, Tommy, eat your dinner, and then get back to work. I'll see what I can find out, huh? I patted my new client on the shoulder and left the cafeteria. But I was sure of one thing. The dry rot that gets to most people in Hollywood wouldn't touch a hard-working kid named Tommy Larson. He was already smarter at 15 than a lot of citizens get at 50. I stopped in a phone booth and found the name Lester Carney listed in the book at 8110 Cherokee Street. That turned out to be an oversized California Spanish model that had taken lots of old-fashioned wealth to build. Halfway up the curving walk to the already open front door, I heard the voices.
All right, Susan, if that's the way you feel, I don't want you in this house another night.
Well, I'm sorry, Mom, but I don't think that spying and telling lies are a part of the maid's duties, so I'm leaving. But I would like to know about my back salary first.
You'll get your back salary, my girl. Don't worry about that. Now get out.
Very well, Mom. Excuse me, sir.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, what do you want?
I'm looking for Mr. Lester Carney. Is he in?
He is not.
Oh, would you mind telling me where I can locate him?
I don't know. And I don't care anymore.
Just a minute. Is he with Bert Lawson, maybe?
I don't know what you're talking about. Now get out of here.
And good night to you, too, Mrs. Carney. Hey! Hey, Susan! Just a minute, baby!
And who are you calling baby?
Well, I call anybody baby when they're as cute as you are.
You're not so bad yourself.
Well, now that that's established, let's get friendly.
I'm always friendly.
But they're not, huh?
Oh, there's going to be trouble in that house.
Oh?
Well... Good night, Mr.
Now, wait a minute. I'll give you a lift in the car. Let me have your bag.
Well, all right. Thank you.
Yeah. Say, what about that trouble you spoke of, Susan? What did you mean?
It's Mrs. Carney. Julia. She isn't as pretty as she used to be. She's turned rancid. She's driven that poor husband of hers out of his mind. He almost never comes home nowadays. Practically lives in his studio.
Studio? What kind?
Photography. It's way up in the Hollywood Hills someplace.
Susan, did you ever hear either of them mention of Bert Lawson?
No. Why, who's he?
A gambler. I gather from Julia that Connie's blowing the family fortune, eh?
Sure he is. And that's not all she's driven him to.
No. What else?
What do you think? Another woman, of course.
Oh.
An ice skater named Kara King at the Igloo. That's that nightclub with the skating show?
Yeah, I've been there. Does Mrs. Carney know?
Oh, she suspects. That's why she wanted me to spy on him. But I wouldn't, because I don't blame him one bit. Not with Julia being like she is.
Yeah, maybe you're right, Susan. But then again, maybe you've got your cause and effect backward, huh?
Yes? Well, I don't know anything about that. But that poor man's been driven so crazy, he's threatened to kill her. Well, here's where I get out. And stay out.
I dropped Susan off at the car stop and headed out Sunset Boulevard for Westwood in a club called the Igloo, which looked more like a down-at-the-heel Taj Mahal than an Eskimo's bedroom. Inside, a line of fast-moving ostrich plumes with wry, crisp waistlines and imitation sable zipped over a short sheet of tinted ice toward the climax of chorus numbers, while I bluffed my way backstage and intimidated the call boy into sending over one Carol King. She turned out to be left end in the lineup out front, so I sat down on a cold trunk and waited until the curtain fell. And I got up to greet an athletic blonde with more than healthy face, who sidled dubiously toward me, ice skates and all, and I introduced myself and told her I was looking for Bert Lawson.
Why are you looking for Bert Lawson, Marlowe?
Well, because people say he's disappeared. Now, I know he's a bookie. You don't have to protect him on that score, and I'm no cop. Just want to know where he's gone.
Okay. I hear he made a real killing yesterday, the first one in his life.
Oh.
I understand he's leaving town to retire.
Hmm. Who's going to make book for you from now on?
Nobody. I never play the horses. My friends do.
Oh, friends like Lester Carney?
Lester. Oh, well, now we get down to business. You smell like you're working for a wife, Shamus.
Yes, again, sugar. I'm after Bert Lawson, nothing else. That's why I want to talk to your friend. Where is he?
Lester Carney is no friend of mine.
You know, you should be smart enough to know you're just wasting your time with that pitch.
Look, Bud, he was my friend, sure, but that's all off, as of an hour ago. We're all through, washed up. I gave him the boot.
Why, did he run out of blank checks?
I ought to bust your shin wide open,
Bud. Keep those skates on the floor, honey.
Then skip the cracks. I threw him out because I got sick and tired of waiting. He's kept me on the string for months with nothing but promises. Said he hated his wife, but when it comes down to cases, he refused to leave her.
Why?
I don't know. Got some hold over him. He hasn't nerve enough to break. So I wrapped him up in a neat little bundle and sent him home. It was a mess.
I'll bet. Between you and Julia, he must be in a great frame of mind tonight.
That's his problem now, brother, not mine.
What is yours? How to keep your life on ice?
No, wise guy. For your information, I'm quitting this show. I'm going to make a clean break all around.
Happy landings. But look, what's the connection, if any, between Lawson and Carney?
Why, Mr. Marlowe, I have
no idea. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, sugar, that's where we'll leave it for now. But in making that clean break, be sure it's not your neck. I'll see you around. I had nothing tangible to base it on, but as I left the igloo and drove back to Hollywood, for some reason, I kept thinking that Tommy Larson was right, that his uncle was still in town and in some kind of trouble. And I was sure that at least half of Carol King's story had been lies, but why, I couldn't figure. And another idea hit me, and hit me hard. I turned onto Cherokee again and drove up to Carney's house at 8110, parked, and went in. There the vague hunch began to shape up like grim fact, because the front door was wide open and spilling a pale glow from the one light in the house, the hall lamp. I saw the note propped under the lamp even before I went in. I left it where it was. It said, to whom it may concern, I have paid all my just debts, my affairs are in order, and since life has been made intolerable for me, I have destroyed that which made it so, my wife, Julia. Now there's nothing left. I shall dispose of myself, nor am I sorry, Lester Carney. And I looked up beyond the note and saw her lying at the edge of the circle of light from the lamp. Julia had been strangled by a silk cord that was still embedded in her swollen throat. I turned and started for the phone.
There you are.
Oh. So I got here a little too late, huh? Or is it too soon?
My wife's dead, so what's the difference? Better stand still because I'll shoot fast. Who are you and what are you doing here?
Name's Marlowe, and I assume you're Carney. All right, I'm a private detective trying to find Bert Larson. In the process, I got mixed up in your little fiasco from one end to the other.
Bert Larson. Just a cheap bookmaker. He's one of the very few people who ever gave me a fair break.
Where is he, Carney? Do you know?
No. Does it matter? Too bad you bundled in here just now. The man's going to do what I've decided to do. It's a most personal, private affair.
It's your party. But maybe you better think it all over again, huh?
I've already thought it over. Thoroughly. Turn around and walk through that door to the kitchen. Go on.
Sure, sure.
All right. Stop there. Now, open that door on your right.
This one?
Yes. Years ago, that cellar was filled with the best wines the world had to offer.
What happens? You pull too many corks?
Find out for yourself, Marlowe! Oh!
In just a moment, the second act of Philip Marlowe, but first, will Tyrone Power listen to Jack Benny's siren song? Will Ty consent to portray CBS's great Sunday night musician and lover in the movie The Life of Jack Benny? Tune in tomorrow and find out. No, there's never a question about the quality and quantity of comedy and sheer entertainment on CBS on Sunday night. And remember, the Jack Benny Show is heard on all of these CBS stations. Now with our star, Gerald Moore, we return to the second act of Philip Marlowe and tonight's story, The Kid on the Corner.
Lester Carney, bouncing the private detective down the cellar stairs, had been rough on both the inner and outer man, and my jaw was bleeding where his heavy signet ring had connected. And I was back on my feet through the dusty jumble of barrels and boxes over to a grimy side window and finally out onto the street. I found neither confessed killer nor car any place in sight, which made my next step a return trip into the house and a call to Lieutenant Matthews.
All right, Marlowe. From your client to Julia Carney to that ice skater and back to Julia Carney, now dead, I follow. But the why, I don't. Where's the connection between the newsboy's uncle and this guy you say is on the way out? Lester
Carney, Matthews, yeah. I don't know.
You don't know? You're not saying which, Phil.
Well, maybe it's a little of each. Now, look, Lieutenant, I... Just a second.
What is it, Marlowe?
Hold the wire, will you, Matthews?
Okay, but make it snappy, will you, Phil? Killer on the loose isn't such a good idea, even if he's promised to knock himself off. Might decide to take somebody else along.
3,004 and a half North Rossmore. 3,004 and a half.
I can't hear you, Phil. What?
What? Oh, a piece of paper, Matthews, in a dead woman's hand.
Oh, now you're fine.
It's got an address on it. The same address that was on the back of the envelope Tommy's uncle left for him.
Well, this address could be the connection I asked you about.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hook between Uncle Bert and the Connies. Well, we'll get right over there. We'll
Matthews, wait a minute. Let me try it alone first, will you? I think it'll play better that way.
And keep the kid's uncle out of the police lineup that way.
Yeah.
Uh-uh,
Oh, now, wait a minute, Matthews, please. I'm thinking of the kid.
Yeah, well, I'm... Okay.
Attaboy.
Just don't make it too long till I hear from you again. Goodbye.
I knew that the 3,000 block on North Rossmore wasn't even close to the Hollywood Hills, which meant that the address couldn't be the dilettante photographer studio that the Carney's ex-maid had described. And 20 minutes later, when I was out of my car and standing next to the doorbell marked 3,004 and a half, I knew something else, because the name underneath was Carol King. A light showed from someplace deep inside, and my leaning on the doorbell only proved that it worked. There was no answer at 3,004 and a half, but 3,004, the other twin to the duplex, was different. It featured a sweet old lady who shattered the illusion the second she opened her mouth.
I suppose you're just another one of that King girl's friends, eh?
Why, do I look the type, Granny?
There is no type, young man. Miss Carol King entertains all sorts.
Oh? Which might include a recent someone who's gray at the temples, short, and maybe talks a lot about the ponies?
Huh? How would I know what her guests talk about?
Oh, you gotta be kidding. Look, honey, a woman's been murdered tonight, and that...
Murdered? I knew it. I knew it.
No,
she
wait a
had
minute.
To come to a bad
wait a
end.
Minute, Granny.
Well, only yesterday
Whoa,
I told Henry
hold
that
it,
if that
hold
girl...
it, Granny. Carol is not the one who's dead.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad.
Sticks out all over you. Now, look, what about that man?
Well, he was here about 30 minutes ago, just the two of them drinking that hard liquor like it was water and making enough noise to raise the devil himself. A farewell party, they called it.
Oh. Did you see him leave?
No, no. Henry made me come in then, and I... Well, I mean...
yeah, I know what you mean. You missed it. Okay, Granny, now look, how do we get in here without kicking the door down? Come on, sweetheart, it's important. There may be a body inside.
A body? Oh, well, how awful. Here, here. Over here, behind this ledge.
That's better.
She always kept a spare key. Yes, yes, here it is. You do it. I'm too shaky.
You shouldn't be. Just think of tomorrow, Granny, and the news you'll have for one and all.
The light switch is on your right there.
Uh-huh.
See anything?
No. How many rooms here?
Bedroom, kitchen, and bath, aside from this. Anything in there?
No.
You suspect foul play, all right, don't you?
The foulest. Don't let it worry you, because... Hey, those photos there on the wall. They're taken from Mulholland Drive, aren't they? One by day, one by night, both in the same spot, the Hollywood Hills?
Sure, sure. That's where he has a studio, that Lester fella.
Yeah, that Lester fella. Granny, do you know where it is? I mean, Mulholland Drive and where? You know, that street runs for miles along the top of the mountain.
Well, of course I do. I was born and raised here in Los Angeles.
Granny, where? Mulholland and where?
Mulholland, Laurel Canyon Boulevard, just south of the intersection.
Thank you, sweetheart, and goodbye.
Oh, wait, one moment now, if you please.
What's the matter?
What's your name, officer? I know my rights. Your name and your division.
Granny, dear, I'm no cop.
Huh?
I said I'm no cop.
Oh, not a police officer. Well, then who are you?
Just a passerby. A stranger in the night. Good night, Granny. All the way from Rossmore to Sunset, then west to Laurel Canyon Boulevard, I kept worrying about Tommy Larson and the uncle, who, from where I stood, needed at least worrying about no matter which way things played. But when I was on the strip of macadam that twists its way upward toward Mulholland Drive like a snake writhing from a long, long bellyache, I forgot about both client and relatives alike. Because at the top and a little to the south, where Granny had said it would be, was Lester Carney's studio, all right, but burned to the ground.
Well, he's select my wedge joint. Sure go fast, huh, Chief?
Yeah, more than 20 minutes on this one. Hey, mister, where are you going? Some of that metal stuff's still pretty hot. Who are you, with the law?
No, Chief, I'm a private detective named Marlowe. I was wondering if Lester Carney was caught in there. He owned this shack.
I know. Is he a friend of yours?
No, it's strictly business. He's wanted for murder.
Yeah, he was wanted for murder, Phil. He was burnt to a crisp in there. Hello, Casey.
Hello, Matthews. Well, what's your guess? He started on purpose?
Suicides hardly ever burn themselves to death. No, no. He probably took some sleeping pills or poison and then a cigarette he left going did this, you know? Hey, by the way, Phil, you saw Connie tonight. You think you might recognize him?
Might.
Yeah, he's over there. There isn't much. Oh, see you, Casey.
Right, Matthews. Hey, Garson.
Hey, you tied Connie and this fire together kind of fast, didn't you, Lieutenant? I just found out about this place.
Yeah, but you work alone, Marlowe. I got help.
Oh.
Well, there it is. All that's left. See anything?
Yeah. That ring. I noticed it earlier tonight.
Uh-huh. And the watch?
No, I'm not sure. I don't remember what kind of... Hey, Matthews.
What is it? What are you staring at, Phil?
Come on over here. Come
you
on.
What?
See this little piece of metal?
Yeah.
I think it's...
Don't watch, oh. Phil. You know, fire makes things hot.
Yeah, yeah. Hot things burn and...
Yeah. Marlowe, what is it?
It's an idea.
Yeah, like what?
Like this isn't suicide after all, like it's murder, Matthews. Oh. Come on, we gotta get to our phone quick.
International Airport, Central Dispatcher's Office.
Look, miss, this is important. I'm calling for Detective Lieutenant Matthews at police headquarters. What passenger flights have left in the last half hour?
Passenger flights?
Yeah.
Well, there have been two, sir. One to Dallas, Texas, the other to Chicago. Both American Airlines.
Nothing out of the country?
Well, what are you getting?
Will you wait a minute, Matthew?
Sir. However, there is a flight scheduled to leave at 10:10.
Uh-huh.
That's just 5 minutes from now. That's going to Manila. Hmm. Mercury Airways. Shall I connect you?
Yeah, hurry, will you, please?
Yes,
hey, Matthews,
sir.
This may be it.
I'm glad for you.
Mercury Airways.
Central Dispatcher's Office, Mercury. There's a call from the police here for you. Go ahead, sir.
Look, your 10:10 flight from Manila, is it going out on schedule?
Yes, sir. The plane's standing by for the tow signal now.
Oh, then tell me this. Is there a passenger aboard named Bert Lawson?
Lawson?
One moment, please, sir.
Hurry, will you?
This Lawson killed Lester Connie. Then he's
Will you hold it, Matthews?
Yes, sir. We have a Bert Lawson aboard.
Oh, good. Keep him there and don't let that plane get up in the air. Do you hear? The man's wanted for murder. But don't do anything else either. Just let him sit and wait for us. You got that?
Yes, sir. I understand.
Fine. We'll be there as soon as we can. Goodbye. Come on, Matthews. It's your show from here on in. Sirens included.
Okay, Marlo. Okay, enough. So we're on our way to the airport. We're going to catch or kill. Everything is great. But first, how do things add up? Mooney, take it easy. 5 seconds more or less, never yet turn the trick.
Okay, Lieutenant.
Were you saying something, Matthews?
Yeah. I'm saying I don't know which end is up, Bill. Look, Lester Connie killed his wife, right?
Right.
Why?
Because he wanted her out of the way so that he and a cheap little monster named Carol King can live happily ever after.
Oh, divorce wouldn't do that for him, huh?
No, Mooney!
No, I don't think so. Probably because Julia Carney had a real tight grip on the purse strings.
Oh.
Maybe something more, like it's not very nice pass for a guest.
Yeah, but the purse strings, the money, that's where Bert Lawson figures in, huh? A bookie with a claim.
No, blackmail. Now, I figure Bert Lawson knew about Carney and Carol King. He must have stopped by once to pick up or pay off a bet at the right time.
Yeah, and from there, what?
And from there, the team of Carol and Lester kill Lester's wife.
Yeah, which we've covered.
But not in detail. Now, listen. You see, after the murder, Lester planned to kill himself.
Yeah.
Or at least make it look like that.
Yeah.
A suicide note, the Mulholland studio burned down, the works.
Yeah, and the body we found.
That's an added attraction. Bert Lawson included in the last minute.
What? The wife and then the blackmailer?
You're getting it. Drugged while drinking at Carol's, where he thought that he was going to get paid off in money.
Yeah.
Then up to Mulholland Drive, ring watch and flames added.
Oh, and then out here at the airport headed for Manila.
Lester Carney.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Mooney. Getting close, you better kill a siren.
Okay, Marlon.
Now, Phil, how do you know all this? I mean, the switch, you know, what makes it so?
That piece of metal I burned my fingers on, Matthews,
yeah.
It was a tap from a shoe. And Bert Lawson wore taps. The rest of it adds from there.
Yeah, including Connie at the airport now as Lawson.
Sure, who'd be looking for a beat-up second-rate bookie who decided to leave town?
Aside from a nephew, that is.
Yeah, aside from a nephew, tried every place but the airport. Uncle Bert couldn't stand planes. The brakes, Matthews. Oh, here we are.
Yeah, just you and me and Mooney and a killer. Aren't you coming, Phil?
No, I think I'll wait here, Matthews. I got some thinking to do.
About the scum you sometimes meet in the night?
No. About the kind of a kid I almost never meet in the night. See you.
Yeah. All right, come on, Mooney. Maybe our boy will make a break for it, I hope.
Lester Carney didn't make a break for it, and an hour later, when they picked up Carol King, it was the same thing. Each of them was surly, ugly, but they talked. So when I finally left police headquarters, where, try as he would for Tommy's sake, Matthews had found it impossible to skip over Bert Larson's connection as a blackmailer, it was pushing midnight, and I was dog-tired. There was something worse than that when I was back on the corner near my office, walking toward Tommy Larson, who was untying a stack of fresh newspapers. Then the headline.
Read all about it. Hollywood killer nabbed. Blackmailing bookie. Jealous wife slain.
Hiya, kid.
Oh, hiya, Mr. Marlowe. Lieutenant Matthews tells me you had kind of a rough night.
Kinda? When'd you talk to him, Tommy?
After the first editions hit the street. I wanted to know if you were okay. The story didn't say. Publicity no good for your business, huh?
Not much. Look, kid, did the lieutenant say anything about you? I mean...
I'm gonna stay with a neighbor. Friend of Uncle Bert's.
Oh.
He had friends, you know. He wasn't really bad at heart, Mr. Marlowe. Not really. believe that.
So do I, Tommy. He was just mixed up.
Yeah. Sure he was. And you know why? The way he thought the world owed him a living, that's why. And I couldn't tell him otherwise. He... Excuse me, Mr. Marlowe. I gotta get going. Thanks a lot. You were swell.
Sure.
Extry! Extry! Bookie and Babe slain in Hollywood Triangle. Two dead in Hollywood slain. Extra! Extra! Extra!
There's nothing more pathetic than a kid, the first time he's really slapped down by life. We, the older ones, the tired ones, learn to roll with the punch. Because we've got time in our corner, watching us, counseling us, teaching us how to save ourselves, so that at the final gong we're still on our feet. But A kid steps into life's arena expecting to find his opponents all he was taught to believe they would be. But instead he finds the old 1-2 below the belt. But if here he finds a good guy, and there a great girl, the going suddenly becomes not so rough. The fight becomes worth it, if only to help the next generation of Tommies find their ring a little cleaner. And the brakes not quite so tough.
The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, bringing you Raymond Chandler's most famous character, star Gerald Moore, and are produced and directed by Norman MacDonald. Script is by Robert Mitchell and Gene Levitt. Featured in the cast were Gil Stratton Jr., Virginia Gregg, Wilms Herbert, Joan Banks, and Vivi Janis. Detective Lieutenant Matthews is played by Larry Dubkin. The special music is composed and conducted by Richard Arant. Be sure and be with us again next week when Philip Marlowe says...
It started with laughter on a bright morning, in a battle over a chicken, and got better as it went along. It could have lasted a lifetime, but it didn't. It stopped on a gray morning, with a little wishbone broken.
Stay tuned now for Gangbusters, which follows immediately on most of these same CBS stations. This is Roy Rowan speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.